Mark chapter 4. And again, Jesus began to teach by the seaside. That's the seaside on the Sea of Galilee. And they gathered together to him a very great crowd. So he entered into a boat and sat in the sea. That's what it looked like from a distance. And all the crowd were gathered along the shore. And he taught them many things in parables. And he said to them in his teaching, "Listen. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and ate it up, and others fell on the rocky ground, where it didn't have much earth, and it sprung up straight away, because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Others fell into the good ground and yielded fruit, growing up and increasing, and brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, "Whoever has got ears to hear, let him hear." And when Jesus was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him about the parables. So the way that Jesus operated was that he told these stories, but most people didn't understand them. It was only those who came to him and said, "What does this mean?" who got the explanation. And so that's how it is to this day, that some people find the Bible confusing, but that's actually because they don't have a humble heart that says, "I want to understand." And they go to Jesus and say, "Please, can you tell me what it means?" And because of that, that's why so many people say, "Oh, I don't understand this. Oh, that's all nonsense." Well, that's because they don't want to understand it. So God and Jesus are looking for people who really want to understand them. And if you want to understand, your eyes are opened and you get it and you see it. So those that were about Jesus with the 12 disciples, came to him and asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those that are without, all these things are done in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand." We could say, and reading they might read and not understand, which is how it is with a lot of people who just have a quick look in the Bible, open a few pages and say, "Oh no, I don't understand that," and they move on. They don't want to understand. If you want to know God, God wants to reveal himself to you. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." So then the seeds that are sown are the seeds of the word of God. And the word of God is the gospel that we're reading here in the records of the gospels. And those by the wayside are where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Now, Satan is a word that just means the adversary, an enemy. And there's lots of enemies in the world that might come and take away the word that has been sown in our hearts. It could be our love of our obsession with watching bad movies. It could be all sorts of things that come and are our enemy, that say, "Don't listen to the word of God. Don't waste your time reading the Bible. Spend your time getting rich, having fun, watching on the screens." These are the enemies, the Satan, that come and take the word out of people's hearts. And in the same way, those who are sown upon rocky places are those who, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves and only endure for a while. Then, when persecution or difficulty arises because of the word, immediately they stumble. And that's what happens when we are baptized, when we believe, then problems arise. Like when Israel were in Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, which is like baptism, and they came into the desert, and straight away there were problems, there was testing and difficulty. And so that's how it will be. As Paul says, through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. This is going to happen. Jesus is not promising us an easy life. Others are represented by those that are sown among the thorns. These are they that have heard the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So, yes, I like the idea of the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus, but I want to be rich. I want to have more money to buy that expensive computer, that expensive holiday, that expensive car, house, or whatever. And people get so caught up with those things that the wonderful truth of the gospel, of the word of God, gets pushed out. And these are they that were sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. That shows, by the way, that even on the good ground, some people respond more. And we have to remember that when we live together in the church, in the ecclesia of God, that some people will make more of God's truth than others. But it doesn't mean that those who sort of make less of it are not the good ground. Because, of course, Jesus was the one who brought forth 100-fold, and we all bring forth much less than that. Jesus said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a lampstand? Now, of course, a lamp in those days was like an oil lamp, and it needs air, oxygen, to burn. And if you hide it under a bed or under a bucket, then it's going to go out. There's nothing hid that is not going to be revealed. So there's ultimately no secret that we have that will not be revealed, and that's important to remember. Neither was anything made secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. What measure you use will be applied to you, and more will be given to you. He that has, to him shall be given. He that has not, from him shall be taken away even what he has. So then the more we want to understand, the more God will open our eyes. And if we don't want to, then we won't. So there's like an upward spiral and a downward spiral when it comes to the things of God. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed upon the earth. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows up, he doesn't know how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, immediately he puts forth the sickle, because the harvest comes. And he said, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or in what parable shall we set it forth? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown upon the earth, though it's smaller than all the seeds that are upon the earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the other plants, and puts out great branches so that the birds of the sky can come and live under the shadow of it. Now what that means is that we who are going to be in the kingdom of God are going to be there because we start with very small beginnings. Sitting here listening to Mummy and Daddy talking about the Bible, somebody picking up a leaflet on a bus, somebody noticing something on the internet, an advert for a free Bible, something very small like that turns out to be what is going to lead us to live forever and ever as a big tree that's even giving shadow to others. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them according as they were able to understand it. And without a parable, he didn't speak to them, but in private he explained everything to the disciples. When evening had come that day, Jesus said to them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. That sounds like he was exhausted. You see there how Jesus really did have human nature. He was just exhausted from all that teaching, because he really put his heart and soul into it. And there were other boats with them. And there arose a great wind, and the waves slammed into the boat, so much so that the boat was now filling. And Jesus was in the stern, at the back of the boat, asleep on the cushion. They awoke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we perish? Well, of course he cared that they perished. He gave his life so that they would not perish forever. And I wonder if he really was asleep. Well, how can you be asleep on a small boat with waves bashing into the boat and covering you with water? I suppose he could have been, but I wondered if he showed himself to be asleep because he wanted them to get more and more desperate for him. And that's also how he works in our lives, making us more and more desperate for him. Not that he's trying to play hard to get or be difficult or distant from us, but because he wants us to realize our desperate need for him. So Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you fearful? Do you still not have faith?" And they were very frightened and said to each other, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." Well, of course, the disciples did believe, but at times they lost their faith. And that's why he says, "Do you still not have faith?" And so when we think our faith is so weak and we wonder, "Do I really believe?" Well, the disciples were the same, but in the end, out of weakness, they were made strong.